Today's daf is Kaf Tet. We're going to start at the Mishnah, about seven lines down. Ezohi Shvuot Shav. So until now we've been talking about Shvuot Bitoy. Now we're going to get to Shvuot Shav. We're going to discuss what, and then the next, we're going to finish up the perek today, and the next perek is going to be about Shvuot Ha'eduk. We're going to go through all the different types of swearing. So we've been dealing with Shvuot Bitoy, and now we're going to move on. Ezohi Shvuot Shav. Nishba l'shanot et hayadua la'adam. If you swear to change something, say, I swear something is the case, when it's known to everybody that it's not the case, which was different from a shvuot bitoy we talked about, which isn't something anybody knows, whether or not you're going to eat or you're not going to eat, that's not anything in anybody's control. But shvuot Shabbos time, that's something that people know. We're talking, when we get to the Gemara, they're going to immediately say, what does it mean people know? How many people need to know for it to be considered something known to people? But you say, you swear that it's not the case, something that's known to people. Amar, okay, I should already stop here and just say, what's not mentioned here is, what if you swear about something that's known to people, like I swear the sun is the sun, okay? Or in the Talmud Yerushalmi, they add here, which it doesn't say in our Mishnah, I swear that two is two, okay? So you swear that that's the case. Is that considered a shvuat shav? So according to the Yerushalmi, it's listed as one of the cases, and the Rif actually paskins that way. But there's an interesting machloket in the Rif about whether whether or not it's d'oraita or d'rabbanan, a shvuat shav, that's to verify that something is the truth, rather than, is a shvuat shav according to the Torah?
That he said nothing.
Because he swore about it. So swearing is not allowed to take, you can't, that's the whole issue. You can't just take an oath in vain. That's what it means, basically. So if you swear that something is what it is, that's a shvuat shav, because there's no point to say that. So again, according to the Rishonim, they list that here. And there's a machloket in the Rif, and it's about how to understand the Rif, when he lists that lahalacha. Does he mean that it's, some people say it's d'rabbanan, and that's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Rif actually claims that it's d'oraita. And then they have to explain, so why wasn't it in the Mishnah? And he gives an interesting answer, which I'm going to disagree with, but I'll mention it. His answer is that here they want a list, since they're coming off of Shvuot Bitoy, they want a list. What's a Shvuot Bitoy? It's you say you're going to do something, or you're not going to do something, and then you go against your Shvuot. So therefore, when they're listing Shvuot Shav, they're going to list cases that are like Shvuot Bitoy. In other words, they're keeping within, we're already talking about things where you go against what you say. I think it's difficult because the whole structure of the Mishnah is, first we're dealing with Shvuot Bitoy, then we're dealing with Shvuot Shav, then we're dealing with Shvuot Eidut. So to make it similar to Shvuot Bitoy isn't convincing to me. But then again, what's the assumption of whether or not it's in the Mishnah? Does that mean it's d'oraita or not? That's another question. Although that was the whole point of the beginning of the Mishnah, right? Shvuot Shtayim Shem Arba, which we are going to consider those d'oraita, even though they're not mentioned in the Torah. So it's a good question what to do with that. Anyway, it's already not mentioned in the Mishnah, but now we'll see what is mentioned. So Amar la'amud shel evan shu shel zahav. Okay, I swear this pillar of stone is made of gold. Vala ish shuhu isha, vala isha shi ish. Okay, man is a woman's man. Nishbal davar she'i afshar. No. Right, I know. I was going to say that. We've mentioned that before, but yes, we're not going to go there. Exactly. Okay. Definitely would be much more complicated these days. Nishbal davar she'i afshar lo. Like, okay, something that's impossible. Im lo ra'iti gamal she'porech ba'avir. Okay, I swear I saw a camel flying in the air, okay, which can't possibly be possible. We're going to talk in a minute about this lashonim lo ra'iti. It sounds like I'm swearing that I didn't see a gamal perech ba'avir, but what it obviously means is I swear I saw. We're going to have to, there's going to be two explanations how to read that into the words here, or maybe change the words here. V'im lo ra'iti nachash kekorat beit habad. And I swear I saw a snake that was as big as, we're going to see exactly what this means also. What's the connection between a snake and the beam of an olive press, right? It's this big, flat, round beam. It doesn't exactly seem snake-like. Although maybe a snake could be coiled around and his length could be, it's unclear exactly what the connection between an nachash and the beam of the Beit Habad is. Oh no, it's actually not the flat part. It's the beam, the long beam.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, I was thinking of the beam that presses on it. Right. The beam is the long piece of wood, okay, or a stone. We'll talk about what this is after. Amar le'edim, let's say he says to Edim, bo vihi'iduni, come and testify for me. Shvua sheloni itcha, I'm sorry, bo vihi'iduni, right, and then they take a shvua that we swear we're not going to testify for you. Now, you might think this is Shvuat Eidut. It's not Shvuat Eidut. Shvuat Eidut is when you basically have testimony for someone and you come to court and say, I swear I don't know anything about this. This is not saying, I swear I don't know anything about it. This is saying, we know about it. And the guy says, please come to court for me. And they say, we swear we're not going to testify for you. That's different from saying, I don't know anything, you know, even though you really do. So this is just a classic Shvuat Shav because you're obligated to testify. So therefore, by saying, it's kind of like going against a mitzvah. Right? By saying, Shvuat Shalom Yidcha, you're basically saying something that you can't possibly do because you're obligated by law to do it. Again, we're going to see the same thing here. Nishba levatel et ha-mitzvah. Again, similar thing, right? You swear you're not going to do a mitzvah. V'shelo la'asot sukkah, v'shelo li'tol lulav, v'shelo la'neach tefillin. Zoi shvuat shav. Okay, this is also a case of a shvuat shav because you're not allowed to do this. Okay, so maybe it could be true, but it's a shvuat shav because you're not allowed to by Torah law, and therefore you can't testify to say, I'm not going to do something it says in the Torah. Now we're going to say, what's the halacha for a shvuat shav? Zoi shvuat shav shechayavin al zdona makot ba'al shigata patur. Here's the main difference between a shvuat shav and a shvuat bitui. Okay, that, a shvuat shav, if you do a bishkaga, you're exempt. You don't bring a korban ol levi yoreh. The korban ol levi yoreh, remember, was only said with a shvuat ha'edut, that was the first pasuk, im lo yagiv nasav ono, right? If you don't testify, we'll get to that soon. And by the shvuat bitui. If you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, you say you're not going to do something and you do do it, and again, maybe on the past also, that was our whole debate in the previous dapim. But they're similar, that if you do it b'mezid, then you get malkot for it. Shvua she'ochal kikar zo, shvua she'lo ochlena. You say, I swear I'm going to eat this kikar, and then you say, I swear I'm not going to eat it. This is different from shvua she'ochal kikar zo v'shvua she'ochlena, right, where you repeated your statement. That was what we dealt with yesterday. But now you say the exact opposite. Harishona shvuat bitui, v'hashniya shvuat shav. This sounds like a classic of our thing, right? So the first one is going to be a shvuat bitui, because you say you swear you're going to eat something. And then when you swear after that, I swear I'm not going to eat something, where you're basically going against your shvuat, that's going to be called a shvuat shav, because it's an unnecessary shvuat. Achla, now what happens when you go ahead and do, right? So now, again, depending on what you do, if you eat that piece of bread, avar shvuat shav, okay, what's the issue? You were over a shvuat shav only because your shvuat bitui, you didn't do anything wrong. You did exactly what you said. Your first shvuat was, I swear I'm going to eat. And you ate. Perfect. But you're still chayav in a shvuat shav because then you also swore, I swear I'm not going to eat. And that was a shvuat shav.
You get malkot for that?
Yes. Yeah, so again, if you do it on purpose, you'll get malkot. If you do it by accident, since it's only shvuat shav, you're not going to be obligated in anything. Lo achla, what if you don't eat that kikar? So if you don't eat it, then avar shvuat bitui. Then you're over on your shvuat bitui because you said you're going to eat it and you didn't eat it. So then you're going to have to get malkot and bring a korban ol levi yoreh if you did a b'shogeg. Now what's strange about this is, shouldn't it say you're also chayav in shvuat shav because you still lie? Yeah, the second shvuat was still a shvuat shav. So the Gemara is going to get to that and basically say, oh, it means af al shvuat bitui, okay? And it doesn't mean only shvuat bitui because it makes no sense. You still swore falsely, as you still... You took it in vain, right, not falsely, I said the wrong term. You took it in vain when you first said...
So
this is the thing here, let me explain. The difference, you could say that the Mishnah just wasn't relating to that, because what's the Mishnah saying? When you, in the act of not eating, okay, if you didn't eat within that time frame, so you basically went against your shvuat bitui. But when you first made, right, there were two different moments of maaseh avera here. When the day ended, let's say, if you said, I won't eat for this day, when the day ended, you were over on your shvuat bitui. But when the day started and you made your statement, at that moment, you were already over on a shvuat shav, because the second shvuat was a shvuat in vain.
Okay.
It's not dependent. No. So again, according to the pshat of the Mishnah, okay, it sounds like you're only over on a shvuat shav if you keep to your first shvuah, then you're only over on a shvuat shav. But the way the Gemara understands it, which I think needs to be understood that way because I can't see any other way, no matter what, you're over on a shvuah shav. Because no matter what, as soon as you made that statement, that second shvuah was was unnecessary. The chidush here is that you could be over on two things at once. That is not, maybe not even, well, it's not exactly at once, but in one statement, when you then don't eat that, then you could be chayv also on the shvuah bitui. Okay, that's what they're trying to tell you. What?
You're better off eating it.
You're better off eating it, that's true. Maybe that's what they're trying to tell you. Okay. Amar Ula. So now Ula says, going back to the very beginning, Ezu ishvuah chav, nishpah l'shanot hayadua la'adam. So now, what does it mean, hayadua la'adam? We saw this before. This is also the same as halacha lashon hara, right? That once three people know it, then, you know, it's not, or rechilut, right? If you want to go say some statement about somebody, if it's a davar yadua, then it's okay to say it, because we assume, and what's davar yadua? The three people know it. Okay, so Ula says, as long as three people know it, then that means that, now there's a big debate about which people would know it, like what if just three Talmidei Chachamim know it, and not the average person, so maybe that doesn't count. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. Nishba davar she'i'efshar lo, like im lo ra'iti gamal parech ba'avir. So the Gemara now says, we talked about this when we read it, that it's in this negative, if I didn't see a gamal parech ba'avir. So shvur she'ra'iti lo ka'amar. My im lo ra'iti, isn't it shvua that I saw a gamal porech? I swear that I saw one. What, why does it say I swear if I didn't see one? Abaye amar tnei shvua shera'iti. Abaye says fix the nusach of the Mishnah. It should say shvua shera'iti gamal porech bavir, and likewise for the next one shvua shera'iti nachash kekorat bet avad. But Rava says this is the way it means to say. Be'omer ye'asru kol perot sheba'olam alai im lo ra'iti gamal porech ba'avir. Right? It's like saying, it's interesting, he words this in the lashon of a neder. But if you take it to shvua, it means, right, I swear that it is the case, right, that it's not that I didn't see. It's a double negative, right, that it has to be that I, you know, it can't be that I didn't see this gamal porech ba'avir. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. V'dilma Hi Gavra Tzipura Rab Chaze V'asik Leshma Gamla. Maybe this guy saw a really big bird in the sky and decided to call it a gamla, and he says, I swear I saw a gamal parech bavir. What he really meant was this bird, this huge bird he saw in the sky. Okay, this sounds like a ridiculous question, but it's actually coming to a really basic concept here, which is that if I say, we've talked about, we've addressed this before, if I say something, do we go by, if I claim that I didn't mean the pshat of what I said, or I should say like this, if I didn't, there's the generally intended meaning of a statement like this. Normally, if someone would say that word, what they would mean is a camel flying in the sky. But maybe that person can claim what I really meant was I saw this giant bird that I decided to call a gamal. And that's, if you, can you come and say that I didn't really mean what those words generally mean? I have my own understanding of those words. Okay?
Seems to me it goes back to the something that everybody knows. Do three people agree with him? I mean,
That's very different, because that's what we're talking about, is this true or not, and there we go by what the standard. But this is when you express something, because this is always a pivli bo shavim, right? If my expression means something, like we said before, if you say pat, but you meant to say patritim, then we assume you meant patritim. You can come later and say that was really what I meant. So the question is, how far do we take that? Do we allow you to come and say what you really meant, even if what you really meant is quite contrary to the general statement, you know, to the general accepted meaning of that phrase? Are you allowed to say, right, I really meant this? So now the Gemara is going to have a whole back and forth about this. So they're saying, Rabina asks Ravash, and he says, maybe this is what he meant. V'chika mishtaba, and when he swore, adata didei ishtaba, he swore with his own unique phrase, you know, he meant his own unique meaning to this. V'chi teima batar pume azlinan, and if you want to say that, no, what this is trying to tell you is, even if he meant something like, that was a bird, I swear I saw a bird flying in the sky, this gigantic bird, which could be, then, right, if you want to say, though, if he claims that's what he meant, we don't care, because batar pume, we go after what came out of his mouth, meaning what the generally accepted meaning of that phrase is, v'lo azlina batar da'ate, we don't go after his what he claims he meant, v'hatanya, don't we have a braita that seems to contradict this and indicate that one could make a vow or an oath or something, one could make a statement, okay, and claim later, actually it's an oath, one could make an oath and claim later that what he really meant was contrary to the generally accepted meaning. It is like sarcasm. We saw this, by the way, if you remember. We've seen this a lot of times. Came up in Gittin, where there was, if you say, lo ayu dvarim me'olam, right? Let's say there's people hiding behind the gader, and they see what happened, and you say, lo ayu dvarim me'olam. So is that acceptable or not, right? You say, I don't know what you're talking about. So there was cases where we said, well, maybe, you know, there was where he said, if somebody said, you owe me money, and he said, yeah, and there were two witnesses that heard it. Right? So do we accept that in court? So they say no, because he could have been sarcastic. And then they say, well, if he says that that conversation never happened, and this is, I always find this fascinating, he says conversation never happened. So we say things that are, you know, when people talk sarcastically, they don't necessarily remember. Right? So it could be he didn't remember the conversation. It wasn't an important conversation to him. So therefore, it doesn't prove anything, the fact that we have witnesses that heard him say that. If you can somehow say that he meant something else, okay, so we do have that in a lot of places. It's one of the big struggles in halacha with how to deal with people's speech, what they mean, and that's what this whole masechet's about, right? Things that you say, how important they are, when they count, when they don't count, how it relates to what you're actually thinking or what you claim you're thinking. You know, here also we don't even know what you're really thinking. So if you want to claim that. You can't ever, in a shvua, claim, oh, I have my own unique understanding. That goes against an explicit braita. V'hatanya, well, I shouldn't say explicit. It goes against something we're going to derive from this braita, and then we're going to say maybe it doesn't. Doesn't it say in a braita? Kisha mashbi'inoto. Okay, now we're in a different case of shvua. We're in a case where, if you remember, if someone's moda b'miktzat, he says, you claim I owe you 100, I only owe you 50. Or somebody claims they gave you a pikadon, and you claim, I don't have it, and there's one witness that claims you have it, but not two. So one witness can be mechayev you a shvua, to say I don't have it. So kisha mashbi'inoto, in a case of mamono, where they make you swear, omrim lo heve yodea shelo al da'atcha anu mashbi'imotcha, ela al da'atenu val da'at beitin. So when they make you swear in court, they say, we want you to know that you're not swearing on your own mindset, but we're making you swear according to our and the Beitin's da'at. Okay, their, how would you translate it, their knowledge, meaning that we're going to basically tell you what you need to swear, and you need to swear, right? So what's the point? So now they're going to say, my time, isn't it obvious from here that what's the reason? Lav mishum da amrina dilma istikundre yaivle, v'atzik luzuze, kamishtaba adata dide kamishtaba. Isn't it that we're worried that let's say he gave you tokens, okay, or something else that he could call zuzing money, okay? I think of like Monopoly money, right? So let's say one day you were playing a game Monopoly and the guy gave you Monopoly money. And then he claims, oh, I gave you money. Right? And what he was saying is, I swear I gave you money, and what he was referring to was Monopoly money. But instead, right, in other words, it sounded like to the court, in other words, he says, oh, I'm exempt now, I said my shvua, now I don't have to pay you back, because I gave you money already. When really what he meant was, I gave you Monopoly money, okay? And he was thinking about something else. So isn't that the reason, which means what? What does this prove? It proves then in a shvua, you can claim your own personal meaning. It doesn't have to be, right? When you say money, money doesn't mean monopoly money according to the average person. So therefore, isn't that what we're worried about? So they say, lo, that's not in fact what we're worried about. Hatam mishum kanya derava. Okay, before I get into this case of kanya derava, I just want to explain the difference, what we're going to say. Now we're going to say, no, we're not worried that he gave him monopoly money. We're worried he actually did give him money, and he's swearing truthfully, I gave him money. But it's a case where he gave him the money and took it back. And what's this? Where he basically used trickery. And what did he do? He gave the guy a kane, like a reed, that to watch, some sort of object of his to watch, let's say. And he filled the object with money. And he said, please watch this for me. Then he goes to court and he swears, I swear I gave him money. And then he takes back the object that he gave the guy to watch. So now he takes his money back after he swears. Now that is deception. Okay, that's not, at that point, it actually meant I gave him money. So it's not an issue of saying that it means monopoly money or something else. It's that we do go by the general, and it's obvious, this doesn't prove anything, because according to this, we could still go by the general, you gave him money, but they have to say al dat beit din, because they want to tell you, you can't do this deception. It means that you have to return the money that you owe the guy in a proper manner, where it actually reaches the guy, he takes it and he accepts it, etc., and not some sort of deceptive kiss. Okay, so we tried to prove that maybe it goes batar date and not batar pume, which would, you know, which would be, what if he meant this gamal porach bavir would be a bit of an issue, right? Because we could go by personal understanding. But then we said, no, this doesn't prove anything. Now we're going to try another source to prove it. Tashma. V'chem matzinu k'shishbiya Moshe et Yisrael. Okay, when Moshe made the people swear to keep the Torah, Amar lehen du'u shelo da'atchem ani mashbiya etchem. Okay, the Brita says, this is the words Moshe used. He said, know that I am making you swear on my knowledge and on the knowledge of God. Vamai. Lemalahu. Couldn't he have just said to them, Kaime Mada Amar Eloha? Why don't you keep what God said? Right? That could have been the Shvua. So La Mishum Damaske Adatayu Ovodat Kochavim. Maybe he was worried that if he says, I'm making you swear, l'kayem ma'ida amar aloha, they'll say, well, we meant what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah said. And therefore they could claim, we never really accepted the Torah upon ourselves. Okay, this, by the way, is a source for mushba va'ome mehersina, right, that they swore. They took a shvua. So again, what do you see? The fact that Moshe used the terminology al dati va al dat hamakom proves that he was trying to avoid the people claiming that they had their own intent when they said it. They didn't mean Eloha God, they meant Eloha Avodah Zarah. So then they say, no, that doesn't prove anything, because lo mishum davodat kochavim nami ikre Eloha. They actually, that could be a generally accepted meaning of the phrase, that time aloha, because an aloha is also a term for Avodah Zarah. So that wouldn't be their own personal meaning. That could be the same general meaning, so therefore it doesn't prove that your own personal meaning means something. Dichtiv, Elohe Kesef, Elohe Zahav, there we have it, where they call Avodah Zarah Elohim, right? Elohe Kesef, Elohe Zahav, there we see. The Lema Lehu, but now we say no, but he could have said, we're going to now suggest a number of things that Moshe could have said, and the fact, again, each time we're going to say, the fact that he didn't use this terminology means that we're assuming that it was to avoid using personal, right, that it was to prevent them from using their own personal reading into the Shvua, their own personal understanding for them, to have some out later to claim, oh, that's not really what I meant. So Velema, they could have said, Lemalahu, he could have said to them, Kimu Toha. Okay, right? As he could have said, I'm making you swear that you're going to keep the Torah. Oh, that sounds pretty straightforward. Now, Chada Torah. They could claim later, and this is classic for that time period, where you have all the Karaim and the Baitusim and the Tzdukim and right that. They could claim, oh, we only meant Torah Shebechtav. We didn't mean both the Torah Shebalpeh and the Torah Shebechtav. Velema Kaimu Shtei Tohot. Well, then he could say, he could have said, swear on two, right? That we'll keep two Torahs. So that wouldn't be good enough, because they could have claimed Torah Chatat v'Torah Hasham. They could have claimed, well, we only meant, right? Because in the Torah it says, Zot Torah Chatat v'Zot Torah Hasham. Then we meant, oh, we'll keep the laws of the Hasham and the Chatat, but nothing else. Kaimu kol Torah Kula. Couldn't he have said to them, swear that you're going to keep the entire Torah? But then they could claim what? Avodah Kochavim. We only meant we're going to keep Avodah Kochavim if we said that. Damar mar, chamura Avodah Kochavim, shekola koferba kimode b'chola Torah kula. Okay, in other words, since Avodah Kochavim is so chamur, what do we say? If you go against Avodah Zarah, it's like you're going against the entire Torah. So therefore, what do we say? If you say, I'll keep the whole Torah, it could be you're only referring to Avodah Zarah. Okay, not keeping, you know, not doing Avodah Zarah. Kimu mitzvah. We're going to keep a mitzvah, and that we're going to keep the mitzvahs, which means the commandments. So they say, chada mitzvah. They could claim we only meant one mitzvah. Kimu mitzvot right? So if you say, how about plural? We'll keep the mitzvot. He, right, he says, swear you'll keep the mitzvot. Tarte, they could say, oh, mitzvot means two. Right? Any plural could mean two. Kol mitzvot kulan. What if you say all of the mitzvot? Mitzvot tzitzit. They could claim, we only meant mitzvot tzitzit. Amar marsh. Kulan mitzvot tzitzit. Kinegi kol mitzvot. Right? We know all those phrases where this mitzvah is connected all of them. So therefore, you could have said they just meant tzitzit. Kulan. Kol mitzvot kulan. What if he says... we'll keep all of them. Oh, sorry. No. Oh, that would have been pretty clear, right? So therefore, now we're stuck in a corner because we say at this point, again, remember how this work, this malach is going. If Moshe could have said it in a way that would have prevented any other meaning, right, then he would have. So why did he use this terminology, right? And the point is, one second, I have to remember now. We're going to bring this to prove that you could use your own personal meaning. But here we have, right, Chisha, if they say that, then clearly, and that it wasn't to exclude any personal meaning, because he could have said something simpler, like, swear that you're going to keep all 613 mitzvot, which means there would have been no way for any personal reading, and therefore it doesn't prove anything. They say, what do you mean? B'litamech, if you're going to claim that, Lema lehu aldati. He could have just said simply aldati. In other words, and therefore, if he was trying to avoid personal meaning, what would he have said? Aldati. Aldat hamakom lamali. So why do we have aldat hamakom? Ela ki hechi delo tehava hafara l'shvuatayu. The reason why he did this was all for a different reason. It wasn't to avoid personal, them claiming, or we are going to have our own personal reading. What was the reason? The reason was to say that we don't want to allow, and this goes back to how you can cancel out nidarim or shvuot, if they say we do it al dad hamakom, then there's no way they can ever cancel that oath. And therefore, he said it in that lashon, and therefore it doesn't really prove anything about our case. Okay. Imlo ra'iti nachash, so basically going back, there's a big debate, right? There's a big question about this. Can we go, right? According to this, we didn't really prove, we tried to prove that people can use their own personal interpretation, but in the end, it doesn't necessarily seem that way. And it seems that we go by the general understanding. V'imlo ra'iti nachash kekorat beit habad. V'lo, what, could there not really be such a thing of a nachash that's as big as the korat beit habad? V'ha, ha'hu de'have b'shnei shavar malka, ha'vacha de'achzik tleser or vata tivne. There was one who ate, who could eat 13 stables full of hay, and therefore he was obviously this huge snake. So there could be such a thing. Amar Shmuel, bitaruf. Okay, so what's this bitaruf? There's a debate about what this means. Most people think it means like a, it's flat. It's a flat snake, okay, where the, we'll see soon, it means the stomach, like the bottom part is flat. I'm sorry. They think at this point it means that the snake is flat on its bottom. We'll see what they're going to reject it in a minute. Some people say it means either like spotted, which is strange because all snakes are spotted, you know, many snakes are spotted. Or Rashi says it has like indentations in it. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Either with indentations or flat? Kulunami mitraf trifin. They're all like that. In other words, they do have ridges or they do have, flat. They are flat. And, you know, their stomachs are flat. So what do they answer? Bishagabotaruf, when their backs are flat. Okay, or when their backs have these indentations. Because generally, these, again, depending on which interpretation you go by, but then on the underside is maybe where that stuff is, but not on the back. Okay. This is an interesting also, just in terms of, you could say, it could be also the snakes that they knew in the Mishnah, where they were living in Israel, were different than the snakes that they saw in Babel. So the Mishnah didn't make as much sense to the rabbis in Babel, looking at their snakes. By the way, in terms of the ridges, what does that have to do, what do these all have to do with the Korat Beit Habad? So the Korat Beit Habad, you know, you could say, okay, the beam is kind of flat, so maybe that's it, as opposed to rounded. If you say it has indentations, apparently maybe as they claim, the wood of the wooden beam had these indentations in it. If you say it's minumar, spotted, it's a little hard to imagine what spotted, right? So that's why I don't know where the minumar really came from. Shvua shochal ki karzo, shvua shalochlena. This is exactly what I mentioned in the Mishnah is problematic. That is, if you say shvua she'ochal ki karzo and then you don't eat it, right? And you also had said, I swear I won't eat it, which is a shvua chav. So the Mishnah had said, you're chayev a shvua bitoy on this. Okay, right? Because you didn't keep your first shvua. So they say, we understand you're chayev mishum shvua bitoy, but mishvua chav lo mechayev, hare yatzta shvua l'shav. But he did actually, who cares whether he ate it or not, he actually expressed a shvua that he was never allowed to express. It's no different than just saying randomly, I swear I won't do a mitzvah. And if you say, I swear I'm going to go against what I just swore that I was going to do, then that's a shvua chav. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, tnei af al shvua bitoy. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, fix the nusach. There's one of these mishnayot where there were a lot of tikkunei nusach in the Mishnah. And he says you're even obligated on a shvuat bitoy in that case, on a shvuat, right? You'd be chayv, sorry, you'd even be chayv on a shvuat bitoy, which means you're chayv on a shvuat chav and a shvuat bitoy, even though the Mishnah only indicated one. Okay, now we're going to have a Mishnah that is going to continue with this style into the next parak, and in fact, not only that, but our Gemara is going to quote the next Mishnah in our in the Gemara here, because they're going to do a comparison. Shvuat bitoy noheget. Now we're going to have a general thing about when a shvuat bitoy is noheg, when a shvuat chav is, and the next mission is going to be about the shvuat ha'edut. Then we get to after that shvuat ha'pikadon, where you say, I swear I don't have this pikadon you claim I have in my hands. Anyway, they're going to talk now about who this is relevant to, and we're going to see the differences. Here we're not going to see too many differences, but the next mission already there's some differences. Shvuat bitoy noheget ba'anashim u'benashim. Okay, it's men and women are both obligated in shvuat bitoy. Krovim urechokim, relatives or non-relatives. If you say, I swear I'm going to give my relative a gift, and you don't, you're chayv just the same as if you say, you swore I'm going to give to someone else. Biksherim uvifsulin, even if you're karov, even if you're pasul la'id, like let's say you're a robber, or you're a gambler, or any of those lists of people who can't testify, if you say, I swear I'm going to do something, and you don't do it, you're obligated. It makes sense. I mean, you wonder why they're mentioning these things, but when you get to the next mission of Shvuat Ha'edut, all these people who can't testify are going to be rejected, because the Shvuat Ha'edut is, if you don't give testimony, well, if you can't give testimony in court because you're a woman, because you're a pasul la'id, you're a karov, you're a relative, all those people obviously are not going to be obligated for Shvuat Ha'edut because they couldn't have testified in court anyway. Bifnei beitim v'shelo bifnei beitim. It doesn't matter whether you took this oath in the court or outside the court. Mipi atzmo. Okay? The assumption here is it's only if you took Shvuat Bitoy means, think about the pasuk, o nefesh asher tishava levatei, I'm forgetting exactly the words, but it sounds like what? You decided to take a shvua, not that somebody forced you into taking a shvua, or forget about force. Someone recommended you take a shvua.
Right.
Okay. Okay. It sounds like he decided on his own volition. The chayavin al zdonah makor v'al shigata korban olevi arev. We know this, but they're just repeating it for our purpose, right? To just, once they're categorizing and talking about things, so they're going to repeat this. That you're chayav, if you did it b'mezid, you get malkot. If you do it b'shoget, you bring a korban olevi arev. A shvuat shav, in comparison, let's see what the differences are. Noheget b'anashim u'b'nashim, same thing. B'chokim u'b'krovim, same thing. B'ksherim u'b'psulim, same thing. B'fnei beitim v'shelo b'fnei beitim, same thing. Mipi atzmo, exactly the same. Okay, so far all those things were the same. And the reason why the Mishnah didn't put the two together is just because of this end part, which we already know is different. V'chayavin ozdonah makov al shigata patur. Okay, that's the only difference. That when it's shogeg, you don't bring a korban, and that's just because it simply didn't say so in the Torah. Echad zo ve'echad zo, both of these, ha'mushba mipi acherim chayav. If somebody else got you to swear, we'll see the case in a minute, then you're chayav. Seems to contradict the beginning, because the beginning said only mipi atzmo. Now all of a sudden they say, even mipi acherim, so the Gemara is going to raise that as a question and answer it. So now, what's the case? Lo achalti hayom, velo hinachti tefillin hayom. You make a statement. I didn't eat anything today. I didn't put on tefillin today. And then the person who's with you says, mashbiachani, and he says, I'm going to make you swear to that. You know, you've seen, right? You can imagine the scenario. I don't believe you, right? You swear? Vamar amen, and he says, amen, okay, meaning, yes, I swear, chayav. Okay, so if you do this for shvua bitoy or for shvua chav, they give you two cases, right? So if you say amen, you're chayav. Okay? So now, we're going to talk about how that, in the beginning, it sounded like there will only be piatzmo. And we said, according to the pasuk, it sounds like it's only mipiatzmo. So mapitom, we're going to say that it's also mipiachemim. Amar Shmuel. So the first thing we're going to see is Shmuel, and we're really going to deal with him till the end. Kol ha'one amen achar shvua, kimotzi shvua bepiv dame. Anyone who answers amen after someone says a shvua, like we saw in the Mishnah, mashbiachani, and he says amen, it's as if he said the shvua himself. So now we learn not only, right, we've talked about you have to say, I swear, blah, 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 blah. But even if someone else says, do you swear and you say amen, that's enough to be as if you actually said the shvua. This is very similar to shomea keone, or, you know, when you answer amen, it's as if you said the bracha yourself. Okay, amen has very strong power, and not only amen, but they explain that it's not just the word amen, it's not that amen has magical powers. What does amen mean? I verify what you're saying. So if you say, I verify, you say yes, sure, anything like that, it would be as if you swore. Dichtiv, how do we know this? Vamra isha amen amen. If you remember in the Sota ceremony, the Kohen basically says, do you swear that you didn't, right, you take the shvua, im lo satit, right, that you didn't sleep with this man? And she says, amen, amen, and that's as if she swore herself. Amara papa mishmei derava, matnitinu braita nami daika. Okay, the Mishnah and this braita also support this. Dekatane. Okay, first we're going to see the Mishnah. And we're going to see that there's a contradiction between, we're going to do like this. We're going to quote the next Mishnah. We're going to quote a Braita. They're going to seemingly contradict each other. We're going to resolve it, and that's going to prove Shmuel. That's where we're going. Shvuat ha'edut, nohegep anashim velo benashim. Okay, here we start to see the differences. The Shvuat ha'edut, where you say, I swear I didn't see anything that happened, and you really did. So, it's men and not women, because women aren't acceptable as witnesses in court. Birichokim v'lo b'krovim, only people who are not related but not relatives who wouldn't be accepted to testify in court. Bikshir, right, relatives of the person they're testifying about. Bikshirim v'lo b'psulim, not anyone who's psul l'ha'id, only those who can actually testify in court. Ve'inanu heget ela b'ruyin l'ha'id, and it's only those who can possibly testify. U'bifnei beitim v'shelo b'fnei beitim. Now, whether you did this in the court or outside the court, even if you swore outside the court, I swear I don't know anything about this case, you're also obligated. Mipiatzmo, okay, mipiatzmo. Umipiacherim, according to the Mishnah, enan chayavim ad shechapru behem bebeitin. If someone else makes them swear, like we saw before, right, they say, do you swear? And you say yes, or we'll see exactly what you say. You're only chayav if they do that in court. In other words, if you're outside of court, again, the pasuk says in lo yagiv in asav ono. That means you on your own volition say I didn't do it. But if they make you take a shvua about it in the court, then you'll be chayav al pi acherim, but not outside the court. If somebody makes you swear outside the court, you're not chayav. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'tanya bebraita. Now there's a contradictory braita. The braita says shvuat edu ketzad. Amar le'edim boi vehi iduni. Somebody says to Adim, come and testify. Shvua she'ein anu yodim lecha edut. O she'amru, ein anu yodim lecha edut. Right? So he says, go testify for me. And they say, we swear we don't know anything. Right? Ein anu yodim lecha edut. Or they say, ein anu yodim lecha. Okay, so either they say, we swear we don't know anything about it. Or they say, ein anu yodim lecha edut. They don't swear, but they say, we don't know anything about this. Mashbia ani alechem. So he says, will you swear about it? Vamru amen, and they say amen. Bein b'fnei beitin, bein shelo b'fnei beitin, bein mipiatzmo, bein mipiacherim, kevan shekafru behem chayavim divrei Rabbi Meir. According to this, what's the contradiction? Rabbi Meir says, even outside the court, if somebody makes them swear, they're going to be obligated. Kashya nahadade. So first we're going to say, before we get to how this proves Shmuel, we're going to say these two contradict each other. Elalav shmamina. What's the main difference that it said here that it didn't say in the first case? Shmamina hada ana amen, hada lo ana amen. Amen was only mentioned in the second case. In the first case, the assumption is that when he says, you know, would you swear that you know the testimony? They say, Ein ani yodim l'chayidut. We don't know anything about this. But they don't say amen to his shvua. You understand? Mipiacherim means people say, you should go swear, right? Would you swear? And they say we don't know anything. And And the guy says, would you go, you know, would you swear about this? And they say, we don't know anything about this. So that's not the same as saying, yes, we would. They don't say we would swear. They just say, we don't know anything about this. If they say that, then only if they said it in court are they obligated for Shvuat Ha'idut, because the assumption is anything you say in court is, so to speak, under oath. That's the way I understand it. Whereas if you do it outside of court, that doesn't mean anything. But if you're outside of court and the guy says, Mashbiachani, and they say, Amen, or yes, or any sort of affirmation, then it's as if they took the Shvuah, and they're going to be obligated. So now, what does that prove? That proves Shmuel, who said, anyone who says Amen, it's as if he took a Shvuah himself. Right, as if he said it on his own, which means it would be the same as Mipiatzmo, which Mipiatzmo we said, even outside of court, you're going to be obligated. Now we're going to have another proof of Shmuel. Amaravina Mishmei Derava. Manidin Dahacha Nami Daika. Our Mishnah proves it. Why do you even need to go elsewhere and get complicated? But our Mishnah simply proves exactly what he said. Dekatane, because what does it say? Shvuah bitoy nohegab anashim ubinashim b'rechokim b'rechavim b'ksherim b'psulin. So far not relevant yet. B'fnei beitin b'shalo b'fnei beitin. Mipi atzmo. What does it say in the beginning? Here we get to our contradiction in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said mipi atzmo, which means mipi atzmo in. You have to kind of repeat those words, otherwise it doesn't make sense. You know, first they quote mipi atzmo as part of the Mishnah, but then they're trying to say only mipi atzmo, yes, but mipi acherim lo. But if others made him do it, then he wouldn't be obligated. V'katane seifa zev zem mushpa mipi acherim chayav. And then it says in the seifa that both of them, if other people make them swear, they are chayav. Kashina adade, the resha contradicts the seifa. Elalav shma mina, it must mean hadan amen hadlo an amen. There's a difference between if someone says to you outside the court, or even inside the court, would you swear? And you just say I don't, right? You say whatever you say, but without saying yes, then you wouldn't be chayav. But if you say amen to it, then you're going to be chayav, because it's as if, here it proves Shmuel, it's as if you said it yourself. So now we have a very obvious question, which is, if it's so clear from that Mishnah and Braita, and from the contradiction within our Mishnah, it's so clear that there's a difference between if you said amen or you didn't say amen. So Ela Shmuel, my kamashvelan, what's he coming to teach us? So what are the answer? Interesting answer. He wanted to teach you exactly what we just learned, which is he wanted to teach you, notice there's a contradiction. What will be the resolution to this contradiction? That there's a difference if you say amen or you don't say amen. That's what he wanted to teach us. Okay, finish the parak.